We're having a tremendous discussion on the inner man and outer man in the series. Today I want to focus a little bit more on the transformation part, the potential for every born-again believer. The church world, in my opinion, has fallen so short of its goals, its vision of what a person can become as a newborn believer. We'll start in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So we've been looking at that word above. Jesus said he was born, he was from above. And the scripture says you were born from above when you were born again. Most Christians, their Christianity is about going from bad to good. That I have to get rid of these bad habits, these bad thoughts, these bad actions, and live in good actions. So I get rid of anger and I walk in love. And the picture of the inner man and outer man is not bad to good. That's a picture of the carnal church, the picture of religion, that I need to clean up my life, I need to act better, I need to change my habits, change my structure, change my thinking, and behave like Jesus. But the picture of transformation and inner man, outer man is so much deeper than that. And the potential is so amazing. And I hope today, we're going to do a buddy Bible study today, and my hope is that I will spark a ambition in you to press into God through the Holy Spirit like never before, realizing what the potential of you, a believer, can be. So many believers are sitting around defeated, discouraged, living in just going to church and being a good person, and never realizing what potential God has for them now. And because of that, this message of transformation has been squashed from something amazing to let's just quit being angry at our neighbor and love our neighbor. They don't see what really happened when you were born again. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And I'm doing some passing review here, so if you've listened to this series, you'll understand what I'm saying in these verses. Verse 10, Romans 8, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So you know how I teach this. If Christ is in you, that's the name for the new nature. Christ in me is the nature of Christ in you, that seed of Jesus that's in your inner man. So if Christ is in you, the body, this outward man, is left dead. It wasn't fixed when you were born again. It wasn't made righteous. It was left in death, in darkness. And it won't be born again until the trumpet sounds and we receive a new outward body. So that's the body that is left dead. The outward man is left in the condition it was found. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, when you see the word righteousness, that also is a name for the new nature. The new nature is that little seed in you that produces righteousness. It is what makes you righteous. So the word spirit here does not mean the new nature. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit. The word spirit here is the inner body, the inner man. The outward man, the outward body was left dead. The inner man is now alive, born again, because of the new nature, the righteousness that's in it. So you now have an inner man, a body, an inner body that can grow and develop in the things of God, that is born of God. That's the new man, that's the inner man, that's the spirit is talking about. It is alive because the new nature, you receive that new nature of Christ. The outward body, this carnal man, the carnal mind, emotions, and desires, was left in darkness. But the inner man, with its mind, emotions, and desires, is now alive and able to grow in the things of God. Again, most Christians think, I need to go from bad to being good. And you'll hear that saying sometimes, well, God gave me these emotions. God gave us emotions to enjoy them, just not the bad ones. Supposed to enjoy the good ones. See, that's a statement from someone who's trying to go from bad to being good. But the picture of salvation is much more than that. It is from above and beneath. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are from beneath. I am from above. And when you were born again, you were born from above. So that means there's things from God, attributes from God, that he wants you to grow in that are not of this earth. We need to think, everything I have from Adam, even the love I have from Adam, is from beneath, is from this earth. But there is a love from above. There is knowledge on this earth, human wisdom about God, but there's also knowledge from God's mind himself that I, as a believer, can fully receive now that I'm born again. It's not received like, God, give it to me, please, make me smart. You have full access to the Holy Spirit's wisdom, the mysteries of God, simply by praying in tongues. The praying in tongues message has been added like a badge, like a trinket to the church world. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I have a little trinket now that says, baptized in the Holy Ghost, so I'm extra spiritual. But it's not the baptized in the Holy Ghost that fills you, it's the praying in tongues that fills you on a regular basis. Well, let's go over to Genesis. We're going to do a Bible study, so get ready. Genesis 1, and I want you to, my prayer is that you can see the possibilities for transformation in your life. Transformation is not going from being good or being bad, a bad person, bad habits, bad attitude, bad thoughts, to being a good person with good habits. Transformation is going from living out of this carnal, earthly mind, emotions, to living out of the new man that's born of God, that as it grows and matures in the things of God, I can become like Jesus with his love, his joy, his peace, his holiness. That's scary for a lot of Christians. They think that's impossible. No one's like Jesus. Well, I would agree, but doesn't mean that's not God's plan. It means that religion has robbed and taken over the church for generations after generations and centuries to dumb down what it means to be a believer. And I guess it's my mission that God's given to me to wake up the church, to stir up the church, and really to find those who are hungry. My following isn't large because I only attract people who are hungry for more of God. But it's got to start somewhere. We got to start believing and seeing the Word of God for the miracle that it is, and your salvation for the miracle that it is. Let's start at the very beginning. How's that for a good preacher? We'll start at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So this is a creation. In the beginning is in our beginning. In the beginning of God's plan for a human race, he had to first build them a home. And the whole universe is Adam's home. The whole universe, every star, every sun, every planet out there in the universe belongs to Adam. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens here is not heaven, where God's home is. It is the heavens, the universe, as we can see and learn and know it. So God created the heavens and the universe out of nothing. He is a creator, an amazing creator. And he created it out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. We can't understand that in our human knowledge. We can't even comprehend it. But thank God, God birthed your inner man with a mind that can actually comprehend the knowledge and wisdom of God. Your carnal mind cannot. And that carnal mind is the one that causes you all the trouble and tries to tell you who God is. But your spiritual mind, your newborn inner man, the spirit that is alive because of righteousness, that inner man now can grow in the knowledge of God. Knowledge from above. Knowledge that originated in the mind of God. He wants to pass that to you. I wish there was a way that God could teach me that. Those great knowledge about life and about who I am and about his plan for me. But not just that, but this incredible knowledge that is it's easily possible to create a universe out of nothing. And it makes sense. It's like baking a pie to him. I wish there was a way for him to pass that knowledge, that ancient knowledge, those mysteries. Oh, wait a minute. He gave us the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. It is an amazing gift just to pray in tongues. It shouldn't be a badge, a trinket on the church. It should be a mission to learn and grow in the knowledge of God that can only be found when the Holy Spirit teaches you when you pray in tongues. Okay, I'm already getting off course. Forgive me. In the beginning, in our beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. So we see that God began to create the earth, and then he created the heaven. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the land, dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together the waters he called seas. And God saw it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is itself on the earth." And it was so. And God brought forth grass, and the herbs that yield the seed, and the kind, and the tree that yields the fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be a sign and seasons for days and years. And let them for the lights of the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and night, to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now I'm going to pause there. I don't want to keep reading this whole story. But I want you to see, take a minute and do your best to comprehend this creation. God's ability to create out of nothing. He created the heaven and the earth, He spoke it into existence. He spoke light, and the sun was there burning. And it wasn't just our earth. It was the whole universe. We have no comprehension about who God is. And if you can just take today and meditate on His ability to create, how amazing our Father is, how amazing, absolutely incredibly beyond our ability to even comprehend, amazingly incredible God is. He took the universe and see, you know, some people think God is juggling the planets. He's holding everything together, that He's juggling all the planets right now, keeping everything going. That's not how He created the universe. He created the universe, every planet, every star, and placed them in a perfect position to where He started it. He spun the universe. He spun our solar system. He spun our galaxy. And all of them are, by His design, are holding each other in place. The earth is exactly the distance from the sun so it doesn't burn up. But also there's life can be, we can live on it without burning up. And He spun it so that the earth's gravity holds the moon in place and the sun holds the earth in place and all of the planets in place as they orbit around it. He spun it so that it runs by itself. And not just our solar system. Our solar system is very vast and it has our planets orbiting around the sun, held there by the gravity of the sun. But they say that the sun isn't just sitting still, because we're in a galaxy called the Milky Way. The Milky Way, which holds our solar system, has, they say, up to, they can't even count, they don't even know, but over 100 billion, up to 400 billion other suns in it, just in the Milky Way. And so in the Milky Way, this our solar system is in orbit with the Milky Way. They say for our sun to go around, our sun is traveling at 750 kilometers an hour around the Milky Way, the center of the Milky Way galaxy. And our sun is pulling all of our solar system with it. So it's not just the Earth is rotating or orbiting the sun, but the Earth is flying through the universe, following the sun, flying through the galaxy, following the sun, as everything is in motion. And God designed all that. Everything held together by His design. And then He spun the whole universe. So our Milky Way, our galaxy, which is where our solar system is, our solar system is the sun and all the planets that are orbiting the sun, and then up to 400 billion other suns, all rotating together, all orbiting, all connected by forces of gravity and whatever. I'm not trying to get, please, I'm not a scientist. I'm trying to just trying to describe what I can learn. The Earth, this universe was not created a gazillion years ago by a Big Bang, but God could have used a Big Bang to make it. It was a Big Bang when everything came into existence, and that was God speaking, bang, let there be light. And so we can see this whole creation, and I'm not, I don't want to argue with anyone about the details. Was it one day? Does one day here mean a million years or a billion years, or is it 24 hours? I don't want to argue with that. That doesn't matter. The point is God created all of this by His words. And to Him, it was like making an apple pie. It's like, yeah, this, just add this ingredient and this ingredient, stick it in the oven, and you have a fresh homemade apple pie. My mama can make an apple pie, and she taught me how to make an apple pie because it's ingredients. Well, for God to create this universe from His knowledge, from His wisdom, it's like making an apple pie. It's not like He didn't go, "Let there be light." Boonk. Hey, Holy Spirit, high five, it worked. I wasn't sure it was going to work, but, you know, we gave it a shot. Hallelujah, it worked. No, He was able to create from a place of knowledge and understanding. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, has up to 400 billion suns. And many of those suns have a solar system, a planet's rotating around it. Don't worry, there's no aliens. There's no super fancy civilizations there. This universe was created for Adam. Now, I wouldn't be surprised there's other creations of God in another universe. But in our universe, you won't find any aliens. So don't be shocked. Don't be fooled by a lot of that talk. This universe was created for Adam. That's our Milky Way, our galaxy. I remember years ago they did the Hubble telescope. They put a telescope in orbiting Earth, and they were able to see further because there was no static. It was in space, so it was clear to see further. And they had a dark spot of space, and decided to zoom in the Hubble telescope to that dark spot. They could see other galaxies, but there was this little dark spot there. And they zoomed in. You know what they found in that little section that they zoomed in? More galaxies. Now they say there's trillions of galaxies in our universe. Trillions of Milky Ways. Milky Way itself has 400 billion suns. And if each galaxy is on average like ours, that's a big universe. And God brought it into existence. That universe, God doesn't live in our universe. He lives outside of us. And He created this for us. For Adam and Adam's family. Adam's family turned from light to darkness. We know that. And God created a new family in Jesus. Jesus being the firstborn of that creation. Let's go to Psalm chapter 3, or chapter 8, verse 3. Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man you visit him? When I look at these, saying, when I look at, David is saying, when I look out to the stars that he could see, you know, he couldn't see the other galaxies. He can just see the stars in the Milky Way. When I just look up your handiwork, and I love how he words it, the work of your fingers, the creation ability of God, to him is easy. To us, it's all miracles, but to him, it's easy because that's who he is. That's his knowledge is above human knowledge. Look at his creating ability. He says that as the, I can't think of the verse off the top of my head, but as the sand on the seashores, that he's able to remember us. Meaning that if all the humans were like the sand on the seashore, that he could know each one of us personally, have a personal relationship with each one of us, know the hairs on your head, the number of hairs on your head. Our God is incredible, beyond incredible. We'll never get to the end in a billion years, a gazillion years of spending time with him. getting to know him every day. We'll never come to the end of who he is. We'll be every day for the rest of eternity. Eternity is a long time. Someone preached one time said, if an eagle picked up a tissue paper, a little tissue paper, and flew over Mount Everest, and as it flew over Mount Everest, it just touched the tip of Mount Everest and then landed on the other side. And the next morning, it got up and flew over Mount Everest and touched the tip of Mount Everest. Then the next morning, it flew back the other way and just touched the tip once a day, just touched the tip of Mount Everest. When that eagle has worn down Mount Everest to a plain, flat, the amount of time it would take for that is not even one day in the day of eternity. We are eternal creatures. Humans were created by God. Adam was created by God to be eternal, a spiritual man, to live for eternity. Every person conceived will live for all of eternity. My children, who we created, me and my wife, are going to live for all of eternity. Every human will. Thank God for salvation, that we don't have to spend all eternity in the lake of fire. We live for all of eternity. If you're not born again, you need to get born again. And we can see just the handiwork of God. And I want to challenge you to be like David here. In verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars. See, to take a day or two and just consider the heavens, consider his hand. Look at what he did. Look what he's capable of. That's God. That's your Father. And it's not hard for him. It wasn't lucky. It wasn't by accident. Forget about all the talk of us coming from monkeys and evolving and evolution. And forget about all that. God spoke it into existence. He's created every species. I mean, you can even just look at species. Like, look at a plant. How is God able to create something? Any plant, every species on this earth. And it had the power to reproduce. They say they can break down a cell, a seed. They know what makes up a cell. They can say a cell contains this much of this kind of atom, this electron. They can put a cell together, put all the parts in there. But they cannot make it live. They can't make it live. Because as smart as man is, we're dumb. We have no idea about anything. We can try to discover about how God did things, but we cannot do what he did. Mankind, don't worry, AI. Mankind will never be able to do those things. They may be able to twist things in the DNA and replicate monkeys or sheep. And that kind of thing, but they can never do that to a human, because a human isn't just flesh. A human is spirit and flesh. Anyways, I'm off into, I'm not going crazy on you. Don't worry. No conspiracies here. God is incredible. His creation of the universe is just a single little glimpse of who he is. And his thinking, his knowledge. Let's look at another one. Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. So he's created the universe and prepared, and set the sun in place. Can you imagine if that's correct? The sun, the earth is going around the sun, what is it, 20,000, 40,000 kilometers an hour, and we're rotating and traveling around the sun, and the moon's going orbiting the earth, and then the sun is traveling around the Milky Way at 750,000 kilometers an hour. Well, the Earth is going around the sun, and the Milky Way is going around the other galaxies in the universe, all designed by God and held together by His design. He is a creator. And He did all that out of nothing. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. I want you to take some time and just contemplate His creation, the universe, down to, and we think the universe is amazing as we go bigger and bigger, but as they go smaller and smaller and see the molecules and the atoms, they're even more complex. Wow, what, you know, a designer had to create this. This was not by accident. That's how amazing He is. And we'll never come to the end of how amazing He is. Well, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. It said in Romans 8:10 that if Christ is in you, that's the new nature, the body is dead. It was left in darkness. Now, His first creation was to Adam. Adam was created in the image of God, perfect in every way, pure in every way, and intelligent. Adam named all the animals, categorized all the animals. But then Adam sinned. The moment Adam sinned, God's image in man, Adam being created in the image of God, stopped. So the human race from Adam on, after this fall, is not in the image of God. We were born in the image of Adam, image of death and darkness. So we really have no idea what the earth was supposed to look like in the beginning, or what it looked like in the beginning before the fall, before the flood. We have no idea what man looked like before the fall of Adam. But we know that from Adam's lineage, we received the nature of darkness. Our inner man was dark. Our outward man was dark. We were a species of death. Not death like a dead animal, but producing death and darkness. Then God couldn't fix it. He couldn't fix the human race. He had to rescue us, create a new species of children of God through Jesus Christ. And as He was resurrected from the dead, from hell, from sin to life, we were resurrected from death to life. But more specific, our inner man was born again, but our outward man was left in darkness. So when you see this, it really helps you to understand, I've been born again, but my outward man was not. My inner man was born again. My outward man was left in death. So I now have a natural carnal mind, a fleshly mind, that is born of Adam, that thinks of this earth, that understands things of this earth, and it can produce human wisdom about God, about who He is, and a human understanding, but it is of the family of death and darkness. It has no ability to comprehend who God is. As smart and as wise as a human can be, send people to Mars, to send people to one day to Mars, send people to the moon. As smart as a human can be, it is nothing in the ability to know God. But you have an inner man that's been born of God, that has a mind from God. And think about all the creation that he was able to do. Now let's look here in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. That's talking about the body that was left in death. The outward body was not changed when you were born again. It was left in death with its natural mind, emotions, and desires. That's why we have to put him off. He's still there. Every morning I wake up, there's Alan still there. I thought you were dead. Well, I am dead, but I'm still here to tell you what to do. And I have to put off Alan all things of the old man. Not just the bad things. All things of the old man are from beneath. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the renewal place takes place in the spiritual mind. I'm not trying to teach my carnal mind to understand God, because it cannot. I am to educate, re-educate the inner man's mind with the truth that comes from the Holy Spirit. Can you understand that yet? Your inner man has a mind that can hold the knowledge of God himself and begin to understand it. See, when God wants us to raise the dead and heal the sick, he doesn't want it to be a rolling of the dice, a hope it works, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. No, he wants to teach us his knowledge of how that works and why we can expect it and demand it by faith. Faith is not to be a blind jumping off the cliff. I'm going to blindly follow God by faith, just believe it. No, faith is to be an educated demand by the right. I have a right to demand this because I am a child of God. Eyes be opened, ears be opened. I'm preaching now. I don't want to be preaching. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues, actually educates your spiritual mind with mysteries of knowledge that made it possible to create the universe. I want to pray in tongues more right now. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man. And now look here, because this is why I taught all this. This is why I went to Genesis. You might want to underline this. And put on the new man, which was what? Created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Your salvation wasn't just signing up for church or signing up to live holy, signing up to change your life, to do good works, signing up to get to heaven. Your inner man, this new man, that's the inner man. When you were born again, born from above, it uses the same word here, created. The same way he created light out of darkness. He created a new nature of light out of your old nature of darkness. He quickened it. Instantly, your nature of darkness and sin was changed, quickened from full-on nature of sin-producing, evil-producing desires to a nature of righteousness created. It took the same creative ability for God to do the universe as it did for him to give you that moment of being born again. You've been created by God, or more specifically, your inner man, your new man, has been created by God with the same creative power and voice that it took to create the universe. Your new man was created by God in true righteousness and holiness. This is God's heart for us, to not just go to heaven, but to allow that creation of that new man to grow up and to mature in the things of Christ. Not just in the name of Christ. The carnal church of Christianity, God bless them. They're going to heaven, taking lots of people with them. God's pleased with them. But they look at bad to good. I have bad and I plead the blood over it. I wash it in the blood. I put it under the blood. But I'm going to be better. I'm going to be good. But the real path is from beneath to above. I'm taking the mind of God, the thoughts of God. I'm allowing the emotions of Christ, His love, that agape love, to be formed in my inner man. That's the reason the inner man had to come to life, because the outer man could not contain it. One more set of verses. Over in Colossians chapter 1. Oh, we'll start in verse 13. I can start all the way in verse 1, but for time, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Talking about Jesus. He's the firstborn. We are born after Him, through Him, into that same relationship with the Father. In whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 6:15, He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Your salvation started by the miracle of God creating His life in you, creating that new man, that inner man, with that creative power that created the universe. You are a new creation. But we are connected through Jesus, born through Jesus, the firstborn. And He says that He is the head of the body, the church. Understand this. God wants to turn this world upside down from Him and things He's created. Things He's established in you, not you for Him. The carnal church model is, what can we do for God? What can we do to help the kingdom of God, to advance the kingdom of God? What can we do to do in the name of Jesus good works? And they're not wrong, they're not bad, but they're not complete. The spiritual people, the ones who are developing their inner man with the knowledge of God that they've received through praying in the Holy Ghost, are developing Jesus in them. They're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 13. Put on Jesus Christ. We are forming the love of Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of God in that inner man. That is transformation. It takes time, but you're actually working in the creative miracle power of God. Every moment you're praying in tongues, the creative miracle power of God is working in your inner man. His miracle knowledge, His amazing knowledge, His incredible mystery, ancient wisdom is being deposited every time, every minute, every hour you spend praying in tongues. And your inner man is growing in that knowledge. And as it grows, it will begin to confront the silliness, the carnalness, the human wisdom of the outward man that tries to tell you who God is. When we really, if we ever get to see and learn who He is by the Holy Spirit, watch out, devil, watch out, sickness, disease, and poverty. You'll be baking apple pies of the Spirit, saying, hold on, let me help you with this sickness, this disease. Be healed in Jesus' name. And they'll say, my God, it's a miracle. Like, no, it's easy. How is it so easy? I know the ingredients. The Holy Spirit taught them to me. You'll quit looking at yourself the way the devil wants you to look at yourself, the way your past wants to look at yourself. You'll quit looking at finances and worrying about finances. Why am I worried about my finances when I have the creator of the universe in me, working in me? So silly. Religion is so silly. It makes us silly, silly people running around like amateurs in the name of Jesus. And I'm not much better. I'm not saying I'm better than anyone. But I'm seeing the value of this path, and I can't quit preaching about it. Let's get the church back on the right foundation. Let us first get on the right foundation. Starts with being saved, and then spending time with the teacher of knowledge, the Holy Spirit. The teacher of knowledge, the Holy Spirit, who will teach you incredible mysteries, ancient wisdom, ancient knowledge of God, how to make an apple pie in the Spirit. I won't call this lesson that. But let's keep going. Let's keep praying and seeking His face. Let's not get sidetracked by the attacks of the enemy. You're on an amazing mission. The Holy Spirit brought you on an amazing mission. You won't fail if you don't quit. I love you. I appreciate you spending time with me. I believe in you. God believes in you. I'll see you again soon. God bless you.